Hey, it's Scott Petrek with another episode of the Brown Zone Coverage Podcast. Boy, do we have a lot to talk about. The 26-22 loss to the Steelers on Monday night may have been the craziest game I've ever covered from start to finish. The Browns lost Nick Chubb, Deshaun Watson did not play well, and they still led halfway through the fourth quarter. Here to discuss all that and the upcoming game versus the Titans on Sunday is Dave Chudowski of GO, the WKYC Morning News. Hey, Chud.
Scott, I'm exhausted, and I don't even cover them every day, every single minute like you do. I mean, oh my gosh, what a week. Incredible.
It was, there's just so much there, right, Chud? I mean, the chance to go 2-0, the chance to win in Pittsburgh, all that. And then it felt like it was overshadowed, or it was overshadowed by the loss of Nick Chubb, right?
Yeah, and it makes you wonder where we start right now, because it's like, do you go in order of events? Because – you know, the Chubb injury, you know, I think overshadows the fact that you lose in Pittsburgh again. Again, you just can't win there. And then you have the Kareem Hunt news that comes out yesterday. So do you start there? I mean, where do you start? Which one? I'll let you pick. Do you want to start with the game? Do you want to start with Chubb, or do you want to start with Hunt?
Let's go Chubb.
Okay. I mean, it's just heartbreaking. I know I had a weird – you were at the game, so I'll get your feeling. But for me watching it at home, it was just a weird feeling that took over my – how I felt. Like, it was just – you know, I think part of it is because he's such a great guy and he's such an important player to the team, and how gruesome and brutal that injury was. Man, it almost made me sick. It really did.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many layers to it. First of all, you know, he's arguably the Browns' best player. He's arguably, or maybe not, maybe inarguably, the team's hardest worker. Such an important part of what they do on and off the field. So you have that. You have that component. And then the gruesomeness of the injury, the fact that he had something similar happen to him when he was in college at Georgia in 2015, where I'm not recommending anybody go watch this, but the knee does something it's not supposed to do on the sideline. And it buckles the wrong way, and he had 3 torn ligaments and a dislocated knee. And he came back from that to be, you know, I think the best running back in the league. So you have all this going on. You know, he can't stand up. You know, the teammates are all around him. The Steelers are all around him. TV won't show the replay, right, because it's so bad. You know, and he's a stoic guy. And, you know, I think he was crying out there, which is completely understandable. Just the look on his face when he's driven off. The reality when he went to stand up, like guys tried to help him up and he knew he couldn't. It was just hard to watch.
And that was tough.
Right? And live, like, you know, you're sitting in the press box and you watch it live. And not to, you know, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but it just looked like something a little bit weird. Right? Like I watched it and I was like, huh, I wonder if he's okay. And I don't know what made me think that, you know. And then all of a sudden, he's not getting up. And you're like, oh, my gosh, he's not getting up, right? And he always gets up. So, you know, that's so difficult. And then, you know, it's an emotional toll for the rest of the team because he is the heart and soul of this team. But then they score in the next play. It's, you know, it happens in the second quarter. They have halftime to kind of regroup. And they're winning the game in the fourth quarter, right? But yet, obviously, they don't finish it off. So they had a chance to, like, at least finish the night on a winning note. You know, now they're dedicating the season to Nick Chubb. You know, multiple guys have said that. And then from a football perspective, Chud, to me, it puts so much pressure on everyone else without having Nick Chubb, right? Like, I think you can kind of make up for some of it. I know he's, you know, we've already discussed how important he is and how good he is, right? But it's a running back. If you block real well, the next running back can gain yards, right? Jerome Ford had 106 yards. Like, you can figure out a way. But but on 3rd and 1, right, when if you're the play caller, well, just hand it to Chubb. Now it's not as easy to just say hand it to Chubb because Jerome Ford's not as good as Nick Chubb, right? Either is Kareem Hunt if he's the guy. You know, if you have 3rd or 2nd and 3 and you need, you know, well, just hand it to Chubb twice, right? To salt away games, which is their plan, to get a lead and salt it away in the fourth quarter, it's not – you don't have Nick Chubb to turn to, right? He was so good with ball security, right? That was never an issue with Nick Chubb. Now you don't know about Jerome Ford. He already had a fumble this year, right? So, like, he's just so young. So I think it puts more pressure on the play caller and the coaches from a game plan perspective. I think it puts more pressure on Deshaun Watson, who doesn't need any more pressure, because now it really is his offense, right? He thought he said it was, but you always had Chubb as kind of that fallback, that security blanket. Now you don't. It puts more pressure on the defense because you can't give up as many points, right? Like the offensive line, you have to block better because Chubb's not going to make you right. It just puts all this on everyone else. Not to say that the team can't overcome it, because I think they can, but it's just going to be so much harder to do.
Yeah, a lot of things to come back with you there. So let's try to hit them all here as best we can. Yeah. Number one, did you hear the groan, the moan, the gasp from the crowd who are in the press box? Could you not feel that? I mean, you could hear it on television.
Right. You know what, Chubb? In the moment, I didn't notice. I think there's just so much going on, trying to find the replay myself and all that. I rewatched the game and heard it, and it was so obvious on TV. Yeah.
Yeah, that was hard. Watching him not – he just waved his teammates off. Hey, I can't get up. You hear that gasp from the crowd. Then social media is going crazy saying, oh, don't watch it. It'll make you sick. And everyone knew right away. You just knew there was a major problem right away. And a lot of different directions. And we can hit on these quickly. Number one, some people think it was a dirty play by Minkah Fitzpatrick. Do you think that or no?
I don't. And I get it.
I mean, agree.
Right? The replay, look, I mean, it goes right into his knee, but I don't. You can't hit guys high anymore. You have to hit them low. So many defensive backs now tackle with their body because it's easier. I think it's less strain on the defensive back's body. You see Denzel Ward and Greg Newsome do that, right? You throw your shoulder into a guy. I did not think it was dirty.
Yeah. And in the way his leg was planted in there, it was just a terrible circumstance, right?
Exactly. I mean, that was the key, right? Like, if his foot isn't in the ground, then he probably just his whole body moves. But his leg's in the ground, direct hit to the knee, and, you know, that's what happens. Yeah. So, yeah, I think it was just a ton of bad luck to a guy that was probably the worst guy for it to happen to.
Yeah. Some people think he won't be able to come back. Do you think he will?
It's too early, Chud. I mean, I think it's reasonable to wonder that, especially given it was the same knee at Georgia, like I talked about earlier. So, you know, like total knee reconstruction twice at 28 years old. It's going to be difficult. Now, you know, Kareem Hunt said he's the best, so he's going to come back. And I wouldn't put anything past Nick Chubb. We've seen how hard he works. And if he really wants to do this and put in the whatever, the 9 months, 12 months, 15 months, whatever it's going to be, rehab, then I'm not counting him out. I just know that it's going to be really difficult.
Yeah, and you know, this happened right after they had just put up a graphic showing how he had, like, the third most yards per carry in, I don't know if it was NFL history or in a certain amount of time. I know Jamal Charles was on there. I can't remember
who the
other
carry.
One was.
Yards per carry is, like, third all-time behind Jamal Charles and, I don't think it's Jim Brown. I think he's higher than Jim Brown. I forget who the other one is. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember who it is. It's someone a long time ago. But I was just about to tweet, though, right before it happened. Like, you know, I don't know how closely you're paying attention on social media, but everyone always complains that they don't use Chubb enough. But, you know, really it was not – it's more so when they use him. I mean, the guy had, like, what, 8 carries or 9 carries in the first quarter? I mean, you know, you can't give the guy 30-plus carries. So, you know, it's just no one was ever happy with the way they used Chubb. But not now people are – you know, now we don't have him. But I am going to say this. This might surprise you. Because it's not a running back league as much anymore, I think the Browns still can survive this loss. I do, and the only way they do it is if Deshaun Watson gets his head out of his you-know-what and starts playing like he should, right? If Deshaun Watson can be better, I don't think the season's lost because you saw what Ford was able to do. And now, again, they weren't planning on Ford, so I don't know how much game plan they put into stopping him. I think people need to remember now teams will game plan to stop him. So it's a little bit different, but you know what I'm talking about, right? Sometimes you do well when you're put into a situation, but you're not going to succeed as much later on. The jury's out on Ford. But what I'm trying to say is I'm giving hope to Browns fans that because it's a quarterback league, wide receiver league, running backs get hurt all the time. I mean, look at all the guys that are out, Barkley and Eckler and all these guys. I mean, I think the Browns can survive it. It's just, it's not going to be easy and things are going to have to go their way.
Yeah. Chud, I completely agree with you. And it's almost blasphemous to say that, right? Because it is Nick Chubb. Oh my gosh, he means so much, which he does. He does mean so much. But all the points you said are accurate. So I'm not even going to repeat them. And I completely agree. And I just want to emphasize your point about Deshaun Watson. Now he needs to fill that gap. And it's going to be harder because teams, I think, you know, and I think teams still concentrated on stopping Nick Chubb, right? He's a proven commodity. Watson is still not back to who he was. So I think defense has said, okay, we're going to try to stop Nick Chubb and make Deshaun Watson beat us. Now, I think there'll be a time where it's not, okay, make Jerome Ford beat you, right? It's going to be take away, it's going to be drop back and try to, and my point is life's going to be harder for Deshaun Watson because defenses can't focus on Nick Chubb. Right. And unless Jerome Ford in the run game matches that level and then defenses have to adjust. But I think if you're Tennessee on Sunday, I think you drop a bunch of guys in coverage and say, OK, try to beat us on the ground. And Deshaun Watson, you have to throw into seven guys. Right. And that's going to be more difficult for him to do.
Are you worried with Deshaun? I'm starting to get a little worried.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm just looking right now. Like Chubb missed four games in 2020. They went 2-2. He missed three games in 2021. They went 1-2. Right. So I mean, you know, like you can win games, but it's still gonna be hard. I just wanted to check that stat. I think how can you not be, if you're a Browns fan, how can you not be concerned about Deshaun Watson? You know, we could write off, you could explain week one with the weather. That was not the case Monday night in Pittsburgh, and he still wasn't good. I think he's slow going through some of his reads. Some of his decision-making is an issue. His accuracy is an issue. You know, I think he's at 55%. And this is a guy that, when he was in Houston, was the all-time completion percentage leader in the league. And now he's completing 55% of his passes. Takes too many sacks. I don't know how you explain those two face mask penalties, right, which were big penalties. Yeah. And, you know, in the second half, key moments when field position was huge. So yeah, he lost his cool. You know, he made some throws, right? A couple of those third down throws in the fourth quarter backed up where you said, okay, here's a big time throw down the sideline. Here they go. And then the drive would self-destruct, whether it was him or a penalty or, you know, whatever, a turnover. They figured out a way to shoot themselves in the foot, but he just wasn't good enough overall. And for me, it starts with the quick decisions. He's not getting the ball out of his hands fast enough. I'm not sure he's recognizing the open guy fast enough. And then on top of that, he's less accurate than he needs to be.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is they're not paying him all this money just to make some throws. I mean, this guy needs to be – this guy, you know, here's the thing. If you listen to this podcast religiously, and we've been doing this for a long time now, we hit all of these points over and over and over. No one should be – if you're listening to this, you should not be surprised this is happening. Based on the things that we told you, we questioned whether that layoff would be an issue. Everyone assumed you just jump back in and be the same guy. You know, mentally dealing with all of the off the field, like how much of a toll does that take on you as a person? Not being in a dome or in warm weather and coming up and I know it's not cold yet, but still, you know, there was the rain on game one and all of these factors. Now we're seeing it play out, Scott, and listen, I'm 50-50. Listen, we can't predict the future. If we did, we wouldn't be doing this and we'd be somewhere else making a lot of money. But I do think I won't be surprised if it goes either way. I will not be surprised if this continues, but we've seen it before, obviously him be elite. So I'm hoping that he figures it out, but really I'm 50-50 on it. I really think it could go either way. Neither one would surprise me at this point.
I think that's fair. I think it's too soon to write him off. I do, and you still see some glimpses, but there's a lot of question marks, and there's a lot of things that it's like, oh, I don't like the look of that. I don't like the look of that, and I think the bigger, more nebulous issue, Chud, is where's his confidence, right? Like it's hard to come back if you're not as confident as you need to be, and that's a position, you know, where confidence is so important. If he just, you know, if he even has a sliver of doubt before a play or when he's dropping back, you can't play like that, right? And you can't win like that. So I think he needs to prove that he has that confidence again, that, you know, he's comfortable in the fourth quarter. He's comfortable making those big throws. I mean, he had two chances, even after the debacle on that strip sack. He had two chances with the ball, and they couldn't score, right? Like, that's what he's getting paid to do, is go lead that winning touchdown drive. And he was unable to do it.
It's he's got to show better leadership too, I think, especially at the end of the game. He has to have better composure. He has a lot to work on, no doubt. And, you know, let's just go to the first play of the game. It's like, here we go again. Are you kidding me? I mean, pick six for the Steelers. And to me, that just set the tone. I know they ended up coming back to take the lead, but that sets the tone. It got the crowd into it even more right off the bat. You know, you're just sitting there going, that they had all that time, you know, to come up with that play. You know, whether, you know, it should have been caught or not, whether it was good ball placement or not. You definitely have to question a lot of how the Browns came out to attack the start of that game.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not, that's not all his fault, right? The ball hits Harrison Bryant in the hands, but it wasn't a good throw, right? Like, Harrison Bryant throttles down, thinks he's going to sit in the zone. Watson throws that out in front of him. It's a throw that should be right in his chest. Instead, it makes for a tough catch, and then we know what happened. So I think that blame needs to be split. A terrible way to start the game. And I do think it's kind of interesting, and I think you probably can just give all the credit to the defense. But the Browns are in that game despite all of it, despite the pick six to start the game, despite Nick Chubb getting hurt. Right, they're winning the game in the fourth quarter.
Right.
So if they had hung on, you can say, man, what a win that builds confidence. You beat all this, right? You survived all this adversity, and you won in Pittsburgh, which you never do. And we could list all the stuff that went wrong. Of course, that's not how it goes down. So now we have to focus on everything that went bad, because that's how the NFL works. But like, they had that chance, right? They had this chance for kind of a monumental win. And they don't get it done, right? We talk about the strip sack. But one last thing on Watson, Chud, you talk about, and I'm glad you brought this up. Did you hear his post-game press conference?
Some of it, yes. Okay. Not all of it.
So, you know, he talked about, put all the blame on me. But he also said, you know, we could talk about what the receiver did on the first play. We can talk about what happened on my fumble. But instead, let's blame it all on me. And I just thought, I didn't like how he said we could talk about what happened with the receiver. Like, to me, he wanted people to know it wasn't all his fault while pretending like he was taking all the blame, you know?
Yeah.
And I know it's a human thing, and I've heard other quarterbacks do that, but I think the best quarterbacks don't do that, right? And I just think that might speak to kind of where his head is right now.
Well, you know, and Harrison Bryant, you know, this is not a knock on him necessarily, but when you have Chubb and Amari Cooper – and Elijah Moore, who we'll get into, and Watson himself. You have all these playmakers, all these guys that people say they have so much talent, right? And that's your first play. I don't question a lot, and we'll get into Stefanski here in a minute, but you know what I mean? It's just, you can understand where it's frustrating.
I do, but, you know, it's a four-yard pass. I'm sure they worked on it all week. Like, there's a reason they run it, right? They go heavy personnel. The Steelers match with a bunch of big people, so you spread them out. You got Alex Highsmith, who's a pass rusher, trying to guard Harrison Bryant. Like, theoretically, he catches it, and he turns up field, and it's an 8-yard gain. And it gets your quarterback started. And, right, like, you show Pittsburgh, hey, we're willing to do this. Like, there's reasons why Stefanski called that play. And if it's a good throw and a good catch, nobody thinks twice about it, right?
I'll give you that.
I get your overall point, but, like, I don't blame Stefanski for that one.
Yeah. All right. I'll give you that one. It's still frustrating to watch because, if they practiced it over and over and over, how did it come out like that? If it's such a great play, make it work. But the other thing to go back to your point about they almost won, despite everything, it does tell me that the Browns are the better team. I mean, I think they are watching that game. Nothing tells me, hey, Pittsburgh is way better than the Browns. Hey, the Browns should have won that game. Yeah. They blew it.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with that. Kenny Pickett did not look good. Part of that's the Browns defense. George Pickens does look good, but we knew that going in. The Steelers have a good defense. Like, you know, I think the Steelers are kind of similar to Tennessee. They're going to play hard defense. They're going to keep the game close. They're going to try to run it, although the Steelers didn't have any success running it until a couple of plays in the fourth quarter. At one point, I think they had 12 yards running the ball in the second half. They'll probably got to go to Warren because I think he's better than Najee Harris. At least he's more explosive than Najee Harris. But, yeah, the Steelers were not that good, and it was a perfect chance for the Browns to beat them, to go 2-0, to continue that momentum, and then they just let it get away.
Boy, you're right, man. Warren looked explosive. I don't know if he could carry the load as the main guy, but Najee Harris just looks slow, and it looked like that last year as well. But that's for, you know, a Pittsburgh podcast.
Right.
But anyway, I was letting maybe my fantasy biases get in there. You know, I had to deal with Najee last year, so I'm kind of glad I'm not this year. But the other thing that gets me is the one thing, like we talked about it last week, you heard every analyst talk about it. The one thing where we knew the Steelers had the edge, where they had the advantage, where there yep. was the outside pass rush on the tackles, and that is the difference. I mean, that ends up being the game-winning play. It's incredible. Like, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the word is. Frustration. How do you, you know, it sucks when you know what they're better at than you, and it ends up being the difference maker, you know, in the end. I don't know. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. It was easy to see coming, right? You didn't have to be a genius to know that that was going to be a key, or if not the key, to the game. And the coaches gave DeJuan Jones, the rookie right tackle, as much help as they could. They chipped a bunch. He held up pretty good. He had a couple penalties. He gave up one sack, but was not dominated by T.J. Watt. And again, he had a bunch of help. On the other side, and I know people are teeing off on Jed Wills, and I get it, because he gives up the sack that leads to the losing touchdown. I get it. I get that he doesn't finish plays all the time. I get the inconsistency for 4 years. What I'm going to tell you is I watch every snap, and I focus on Jed Wills. Like, I rewatch it pretty much every week and just watch him. And the effort is not always consistent. I thought against Pittsburgh, he played pretty well for the whole game. Not great. And there were plays – you know, he got beat a couple times. There's a spin move. He struggles with the spin move. The guy spins, and Jed kind of like turns his back to the guy because he's trying to catch up. Like, I didn't think he was dominated all game, right? Wyatt Teller gave up a bunch of pressures inside, right? He gave up a sack and a Larry Ogunjobi pressure early in the game. So my point is, that's a tough pass rush. They got pressure against everybody. I think Joe Bitonio gave up a sack or a pressure. So I didn't think Wills, like, all game long, was the biggest problem. But in the biggest moment, he was the biggest problem. And he took blame after the game, said there was confusion with the snap count. He just didn't get off the ball. And Highsmith was playing out wide. And if you don't get off the ball, you're done. And Wills didn't get off the ball. And, you know, you could say, well, it's only one play. But I think it's worth pointing out. I'm just listening to an interview that Joe Thomas did on the Browns Radio Network show. And he said, that's the thing about left tackle. It can't be one play. The game changes with one play, and you have to have that sense of urgency. And that's what is missing sometimes with Jed Wills, is a sense of urgency. And it sure looked like he didn't have that on what turned out to be the most important play in the game. And I'm not saying even like he purposely didn't have it. He just didn't. On that one play, he was slow getting off the ball, and that play changed the game. And you can't let that happen in a position as critical as left tackle.
Boy, the defense looks legit, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the corners cover, the pass rush gets there. They're good against the run. Now, they're going to be tested this week, right? Derrick Henry. I don't know if Derrick Henry is the same Derrick Henry. You know, through two games, his numbers aren't very good. But, you know, he had 1,500 yards through the last 4 years, or the last three full seasons. So, we're not going to write off Derrick Henry. So it's going to be a test. Tennessee's going to run the ball. They're going to have to stop the run, number one, right? And they've been good so far. They've only given up 65 yards a game through two games. So this is going to be a test. But if they pass this run game test, then I think you can start talking about, okay, this defense has it all because they can cover and they can get to the quarterback.
All right, we got about 10 minutes left and a lot still to get to. So we'll have to try to get this all in.
Yeah,
Myles Garrett. I've heard some people say they are disappointed with his effort. What did you think of him the other night?
No, he's another guy I watch because I know people, like I've been around long enough. I know fans, I know Twitter. When I rewatch the game, like I focus on him. Chud, the guy plays hard every snap. And I mean, that's going to be a slight exaggeration because probably not a whole lot of guys play hard every snap. He plays hard like 99% of the time. I'm watching him. He gets double teamed all the time. I thought the Steelers did a good job using a guard to double team him, which some team it's hard to do sometimes, and a lot of teams focus on the tight end. And I'm not sure what the like from a schematic standpoint why they were able to do it, but they had two big bodies on him a lot. And when they didn't, he got to the quarterback. Like I know he didn't have any sacks. Kenny Pickett, the one time, threw it underhanded, almost threw an interception. It could have been intentional grounding. That was because Myles Garrett had one-on-one coverage and got there so fast, one-on-one blocking. There was another time, same thing. Every time it seemed to me he had one-on-one, he won, and there was a pressure on Kenny Pickett. That's all you can ask him to do. He's part of that run defense that was stout through, for much of the game. He was not any part of the problem at all.
Yeah, I guess people just want to see that big play. You see Watson make a big play, and, you know, fans want to see that, right? They want to see it, their big guy make a big play to be maybe be the difference.
No, I get it. I mean, I get that, but it didn't come down to that, right? He's made that play before. Like, people act like he's never made that play to win the game. That's not true. Week one, he makes a sack of Burrow that leads to the clinching touchdown on fourth down, right? Like, it's a week ago. He's made plenty of those plays. I think he is too harshly judged. And, I get what T.J. Watt did that game, and we can have the discussion T.J. Watt's better than Myles Garrett, and I think you can make that argument. But Myles Garrett is not the problem. He wasn't the problem against the Steelers, and I thought he played well.
All right, Scott, let's hit a couple things really quick, almost rapid fire before we get to prediction. But a lot of people upset about the play calling. We kind of dove into it. Do you have an issue overall with Stefanski right now and the way that game was called?
Yeah, real quick. I don't. I think it was more execution. I think a couple bad penalties. I think Deshaun Watson not playing like you need him to play. I think that changes a lot of things, makes the play caller look better. My one criticism would be, feels like Stefanski's throwing a lot out there. They got RPO looks. They got option looks. They got zone read looks. Maybe you need to scale it back a little bit and kind of perfect a few things instead of having this wide array.
Sure. You know, part of it might be, are those two just trying to still figure it out together?
Yeah, I think that is a part of it. And I think, you know, my guess is Watson still isn't as comfortable as he needs to be. And maybe that's a Watson problem, right? A confidence, a rust, all those things. But maybe it's this offense, even though it's catered to him, still isn't exactly what he had in Houston.
Yeah. Kareem Hunt, what do you think about that? I mean, do you feel like that's the good answer here?
I do. I'm surprised. I thought the team was done with him. But then this is extenuating circumstances, right? Like, they didn't get him to be the number two when they had Ford. Ford was the number two. They didn't want him to be the number three. They got Pierre Strong Jr. That made sense. But now when you need a number two for Jerome Ford, right, Ford's number one, Hunt's going to be number two, it makes sense. It makes sense because he's familiar. They're familiar with him. He can come in and play. He's got energy. They say he's in better shape. So hopefully he plays better than he did last year. But I think at this moment it makes sense, and it's just a good thing that they didn't burn any bridges last year.
Yeah, but is there concern, though, with the fact that he didn't play great last year? No one signed him. Maybe that's him not wanting to sign with certain teams because he wanted more money. But there was no one that said, hey, we're going to give this guy this amount of money because he is a difference maker. So, you know, are you worried at all about that?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't think you can count on him being a Pro Bowler. But what are the options? I mean, we're in September 21st, right? It's him or Cam Akers, right? Those to me seem like the two choices. Cam Akers, there would have been an adjustment period. You'd had to give up a draft pick, whatever. Kareem Hunt, it's so much simpler. I think it'll be a smoother transition. So therefore, it made sense to me.
Are you disappointed with Elijah Moore so far, or still not?
I expected more production. I don't know if it's his fault, right? I thought there was a catch he made, should have made down the sideline or could have made. He just didn't get that second foot in. That's a play a big-time player makes, right? It would have been a big play in the game. Doesn't feel like he's getting as many opportunities as I thought he would get. But, yeah, he's a guy that if this offense is going to do what it needs to do, he's going to have to be more productive.
Okay, quickly, injuries. Any other – I mean, there were a lot of injuries in that game.
Yeah, Newsom, Za'Darius Smith, and Cooper did not practice in the walkthrough Wednesday. We're taping this Thursday morning. We'll see. It feels like day-to-day. I mean, that's what Kevin Stefanski said. Those don't feel serious. So hopefully they'll be – minus Nick Chubb. Hopefully they'll be at pretty full strength. And Amari Cooper, the guy just showed what a gamer he is by going out there with the groin and playing really well.
Yeah. All right, anything else before we get to prediction time?
No, I think we hit it, and then I got to go to the locker room. So let's do some predictions.
All right, I'll go first, and I'm just going to say, Scott, I think the Browns are the better team than the Steelers. But remember, you got to show it to me. They just can't win in Pittsburgh, man. I mean, they just – it's unbelievable. You know?
It is.
I mean, gosh. Anyway, I hate to do it, but I got that one right. So I'm 2-0, and now you're 1-1. So yep. You got a little catching up to do.
Fair enough.
All right. I'll go first. I still think the Browns can be 3-1. I mean, yeah. As bad as that was, when I made my prediction for their record overall, I thought they'd be 1-1. They're 1-1. I thought they'd beat Cincinnati. I thought they'd lose to Pittsburgh. That's what happened so far. We don't always get them right, but so far that's how I see it. I think they can beat Tennessee and they can beat Baltimore as long as Watson gets a little or a lot better. I guess what I'm saying is I'm still holding out hope that the season is not lost because of one loss and obviously a major injury. I think they come back. I think they get the win this week. Tennessee is not one of the better teams in the NFL, but they are one of the better coach teams. Believe me, they've shown us in the past. They could come in here and win. They could surprise us. I don't call it a gimme by any means. So, you know, you got to take them seriously. They're a good team, but I'm going to go Browns 23, Titans 16.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with a lot of stuff you said. It feels like this season has a chance to get away from the Browns. And I think that's, you know, part Nick Chubb, part what happened with Pittsburgh, a lot of Deshaun Watson, how he looks right now. But I think that's way premature. They could easily be 2-0. They're going to have to grind out some games. But I think it's way too early to be super negative about this team. And I think they're better than Tennessee. I think it's going to be a close game. Mike Vrabel plays close games. I think the Browns are probably going to have to play a bunch of close games. That's the way it's looking mm-hmm. right now with the offense struggling, defense playing really well. But they're at home. You know, Ryan Tannehill is flawed. I got the Browns 20, Tennessee 16.
Wow, we're very
yeah,
close.
We got to 16 the same, Chubb. So, yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah. That is hilarious. And one note, I do agree with you, though. If the offense struggles and the defense cannot – they can't rely on their defense all year long. You're right. If the offense doesn't get it going, this could go in the wrong direction. You're right.
Right. And, you know, they have an early bye. If they can get to the bye, I mean, Jesus, they get back to the bye 3-1 and then maybe figure some stuff out offensively, right? Like, I don't think the season's done. I think there's a chance, but so much of it is going to be, can they figure it out on offense? So,
no doubt.
All right. Well, thank you, Chud. As always, I appreciate it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I got to run to the locker room. This has been another episode of the Brown Zone Coverage Podcast, and you can read all my work at brownzone.com. Thanks, everybody.